Well, I'm still in East Durham on the Sunday before the Irish Arts Week officially begins, which it begins tomorrow. And one of the things I was really looking forward to this year was to meet Cormac McConnell, and I just met him. Cormac, how are you?
I am all the better, Tony, of looking out past my silver beard at yours and realizing that there's not just one ugly son of a bitch here, but two, and with a common connection with Roscommon.
Yeah, well, tell us what your connection with Roscommon is.
I worked as you did, I think.
Well, I kind of contributed.
Okay.
But you
I
worked.
Was a staff man after I left home in my native Fermanagh. I went across at 19, I think, from the Fermanagh Herald to the Roscommon Herald in Boyle, where the great and lovable and complex Micheál O'Callaghan was my editor. And I stayed there for 5 wholly enjoyable and most informative and shaping years in journalism, covering courts, councils, dog shows, baby shows, whist drives, the run-of-the-mill stories, the crashes.
Somebody beating somebody with a whip.
Somebody beating somebody with a whip. Anything and everything. The changeover of Boyle from DC. Stewart's had DC electricity. And at night at 12 o'clock, a smaller turbine began to use the power and the lights dimmed. And the changeover into the national grid. I think Boyle was the last town to join the ESB's national grid. Warm, lovely town that taught me a lot, that gave me some of the best friends I've ever made, who are friends to this day, 50 years later, and has a warm place in my cold northern heart, Roscommon.
Well, now, first of all, for people who may not realize it, you're the same Cormac who writes for the Irish Voice, is it?
With the greatest of pleasure, Neil O'Dowd headhunted me. I was then with the Irish Press, and Neil was a contributor from Boston, as I recall, to the Irish Press before establishing the Irish Voice. He called me, would I write for the Irish Voice? Of course I would. Of course I would. And I have to say, the Irish Press, I was covering Connacht for the Irish Press Group, the Irish, the Evening and the Sunday Press. It was hard reportage. The running stories, the things like the explosion that killed Lord Mountbatten, all of the events of the day, trawler sinking, life and death as she has lived in the west of Ireland. But fundamentally, I wanted to write what you and I, Tony, call colour. You couldn't use adjectives in reportage. I like the odd airy-fairy adjective. I like to send seagulls flying out over the stories. I like the little bit of colour.
Right.
And Neil O'Dowd, fair play to him in his brave, bold and successful and flourishing venture, Neil offered me that opportunity. I think about 25 years ago. I have been writing for them every week since. And don't tell Neil O'Dowd or his beautiful editor and wife, Debbie McGoldrick, it's not work at all. I do it for not. I pay to do what I do for.
Oh,
Don't tell anybody.
I don't know Neil that well. I've met him maybe once or twice, but I do know Debbie. I was a DJ for many, many years, and her family, when they had celebrations, they always hired me to do the music for them. So I do know her. Yes. So
I have to say that, and I say it again, sitting here, I love Debbie McGoldrick with a deep and genuine and totally pure love. She is a great lady, and she has tolerated me when my copy was late, and she has encouraged me. And she and her lovely daughter Alana, I know them. They have called, and we're in close touch constantly. She is also, and you would know this, Tony, better than me, very important in relation to the green card requirement for immigration. And she's an expert there, and she does such good work for our people.
Yes.
For our people, the sons and daughters of Ireland.
Right, right. Now, when did you come here? Today?
7 or 8 hours ago.
Really, yeah?
Yes, yes.
So you were in Ireland yesterday then?
I was in Ireland yesterday morning.
So
I was in Ireland this morning, for God's sake. Yeah,
right. Yeah, well, of course, this is a long day now,
I
right?
I live close to Shannon Airport, 10 minutes away, and myself and my lovely only daughter, Kira, came across on the early flight. And we were picked up by Leslie of this constituency and ferried here about 4 or 5 hours ago. And I have to say, from the moment I met Redine O'Flynn, the director here, and I know her family well, Diarmaid the journalist, a splendid Examiner journalist, in Barna, where I raised Kira and her brothers, and an immediate neighbour was Con, another member of the family, an ordnance surveyor. And I have to say, the minute I came here and Leslie dropped us up at the MJ Quills Cultural Centre, there is that kind of buzz, a Celtic mad buzz and excitement and wholesomeness, which, as here in the Shamrock, outside which you and I are sitting now, warms the cockles of my cold northern heart, I have to
now,
say.
Now, the reason I bring up the fact that you were in Ireland yesterday, do you think that Sam Maguire is going to Roscommon this year? After yesterday?
No.
No?
Absolutely
not.
Oh,
my God.
And I've already written, and Debbie has published it, that it won't come to Mayo either.
Oh, my God.
And I have said that if I am wrong, I will go up to Mayo, and I will lick the boots of every member of the panel. But I know from long experience, I, Tony, won't have to do that.
But what are you going to do if Roscommon wins?
Roscommon won't.
Well, if they do.
But they won't.
Okay.
They won't. They won't. There is, actually, it's very, very interesting. I think you can already see in Ireland, in an era when Gaelic football, to my eye, is not as good as it was in the old soaring, midfielding, high-catching days when individuals like Mick O'Connell, like Red Collier of Meath, like Michael Meehan, even of the more recent Galway, Gooch Cooper of the modern jazz. It's not individual anymore. It's a kind of a robotic, semi-professional game. And that game has been developed to close to its peak by Dublin. They won last year. They were a bit lucky maybe last year. They won last year. I, as solidly as I can say, that Mayo, or sadly Tony Roscommon, will not win Sam Maguire this year, would put my shirt on Dublin to retain their title.
Okay. All right, we'll change the subject.
Sorry, of course you'll change the subject.
There's no way of getting you to change your mind. Okay, now we'll change the subject. And the subject is, you were in radio for a while. Are you still involved in radio or no?
Every now and again. I live in Clare, in rural Clare. We're moving shortly to be closer to my wife's job of her dreams on the other side of the county. I had 5 accidental, hugely enjoyable, gorgeous years in Clare FM, the splendid radio station that serves County Clare. And I began as news editor, and again we go back to where I was before, reportage, the news of the day, what car crashed, what child was drowned, what grand was given, and we had a very professional operation, and it was a good newsroom, but it didn't give me the kind of joy I got later, when with pleasure I surrendered that role and moved to a night show, the colour thing, which was called, would you believe, Cormacology, and which was the equivalent of the colour pieces that you write for a paper. It was crack, and it was fun, and it was made not by me sitting up behind a mic in a studio with a coffee, and then you could smoke a cigarette in the studio, not anymore. It was made by the marvellous people of Clare. I can remember, for example, on one occasion, just a whim, there was no plan, a whim saying, have any got a gramophone up there and maybe a record, an old record with cobwebs on it from John McCormick? Or anybody else? Jimmy Shand and his band. I know the old gramophone is up in the attic. The first man to bring one down, sure, I have a couple of CDs or a spot price to give to him. And then I played a bit of music and the phone started ringing. My son Dara was actually the producer, though we didn't say that, a nepotistic kind of thing. And the phone rang, and these marvellous people of Clare, they wound up the old gramophones, and the next thing you had, there was McCormick, or the Scottish songs. And they made, what, to this day, and it's 4 or 5 years ago, since I quit, even in Shannon this morning, the immigration people checking us out said, I used to go to bed with you out there. It was so enjoyable that it couldn't last. And there was a bit of a disagreement in the hen house, like you have a disagreement in a chef's kitchen. And my family were raised, and I didn't take what I would have taken with my head down 5 years, and I walked. Good relations have been resumed after a couple of months again with Clare FM. I remember it as a lovely phase and period and totally undemanding occasion in my life.
Very good. Yeah. You know,
you do radio. You know, whoever is paying Tony for what he does, you should be charging him for the pleasure that he clearly gets.
Well, I don't get any pay.
Yeah. But there is some kind of reward somewhere, and if there is anyone giving him any kind of pay for doing what he is A, so good at, and B, what at 7 o'clock in the evening at the arts festival here, he is thoroughly enjoying, charge him. Charge him, and charge him plenty.
But you know,
sorry, Tony.
I had a little bit of experience on radio in Ireland too. When I was here, they sent me a letter from Mullingar, Radio West. Do you remember Radio West? It was a pirate radio station back in the 80s.
I don't. There was myriads.
There was
of
a
them.
Lot of them.
There was as many of them as there is off Somalia nowadays.
Right. Well, I did a show there for 2 years on Radio West in Mullingar when it was a pirate station.
Were you paid?
No. But I had a lot of fun. I went over there and they put me on the air and I ran the station for a couple hours with them.
Okay.
You know, so, but
Clare FM, I have to say, totally professional.
Yeah.
They paid me and they paid me well and they gave me a staff car and they gave me a good conditions, and I have the height of respect for them. Just on one bad morning, I, in bad form, met the lovely Tipperary boss man, Liam O'Shea, in bad form. Things went. It was sorted in a couple of months,
okay.
And we're friends now.
Okay.
And I have a height of respect for them. But c'est la vie, water under the bridge.
Good. So we'll change the subject again. What are you doing here all week?
I was invited out by Redeen O'Flynn. I think largely because a fair number of people who might be here are Irish Voice, Irish Central readers.
Right.
And Redeen was of the opinion, and her associates, Donal, and so were of the opinion, that perhaps a meeting between the man who writes the columns and those who themselves, like you and I, might wish to write stories, might wish to write columns, might be productive for them as well as being hugely enjoyable for the old hack like myself. But that is, I think, the thrust behind it. And to add my grey and greying and ageing and hopping self, because I broke my ankle a couple of years ago, I now call myself Cormac the Hop, to add myself to this marvellous Celtic fun mix here in the Catskills. We're here a few hours. Meeting you here, for example, in our media business for many, in many situations, would be work for you and work for me. I think the ethos of what we are, where you come from, out beside Athlone on the edge of Roscommon, where I come from, in Fermanagh, where so many of the people I've met, even in the few hours here, come from. We're cracked. We don't know what work is in this area. You're not working now. I'm not working. Those behind us here in the Shamrock are enjoying themselves. The night is young. The festival is beginning. It is, Tony, in my view, the best of what we all are, and God bless those that put it together.
Well, with that, I'm going to say, I wish I had time to go to one of your lectures or classes this week, but unfortunately I don't. But we will meet again, and I'll be here during the week, practically every night. So I imagine we'll ask you to talk to us again.
A great pleasure, not work, Tony, and a great pleasure to share the last X minutes with you.
Thank you.